This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, as you've come to expect, we are here, we are live. We're ready to look after you this morning. Hello to you and especially to you. Isn't that nice? Look how reliable we are.
I plan to do no...
Come rain or snow or gloom of night.
I plan to do no looking after of anybody. I'm here to ruin your Wednesday.
God laws.
With the hope that it carries over into the rest of the week, and if I'm lucky, the weekend. The next thing that greets you is Monday. Yeah,
to ruin it. Oh, man. It is that time of year, though. And I'm trying to squeeze in this week the last few things I have to do. Because basically, after today, I really don't give a shit.
Yeah, today as well, pretty much.
Yeah. I think for a lot of people. Either today or Friday.
That's nice.
Yeah, no, I still have a few things to do. I'll be done next week.
Yeah, look, I'm at work next week, but I'm not... I mean, it's not pressure like this week. This week, there's just a lot going on. You know how you sometimes have those things that you just have to finish properly?
Yes.
You can't just let them trail off.
Yes.
What you got to do.
Well, you can, but she's got to really love you.
Okay.
But in these few days here, look forward to the phrase, let's pick this up in the new year over the emails.
No, for sure. That's definitely
I'm
really
thinking, like, what can I use that phrase on? Because there's a couple of things to do, but let's be honest.
I'm on my last day at a half job today.
So
I'm going to go do that.
Is it because you give half of yourself to the job, or the jobs are half of
There's literally enough of me that I could send myself off to do two jobs, Ben. No, it's a half day gig that I had 4 days a week, so it's a like semi-permanent. Okay. So it's just a time filler.
Right. Time filler.
Yeah.
Which will help you make stocking stuffer presents.
Yes, exactly. And pay half bills.
Pay half bills.
Half
great,
bills,
huh?
Best bills. Well, I talk about bills. I mean, it's also that time of year. There are some people, I don't know how many, but there are people in South Africa who get a 13th check.
Really?
Yeah.
Who are these people?
I don't know, but they're very lucky because... I can't imagine this economy. It's possible.
That's absolutely factored into your cost of company. They look at it and they go, okay, now please, like there's two things I'm shit at, and it's math, so don't hold me to – I'm not going to give any examples that might actually work, but it would be like we'll pay you 12 grand a month over the year or fucking 10 grand plus whatever the difference is of two different – 10.2 months.
Well, you say factored in, but I mean if the company's not making a profit –
Well, a bonus works differently. A bonus is like, okay, at the end of the year, we'll assess you and we'll decide based on the performance of the company and based on what we think your contribution is above and beyond what we expect from you. And they'll either say, like, you're not getting any raise next year because you've been a bit shit and give you some sort of conduct-based warning.
Right.
Or they'll be like, cool, well, we didn't make a lot of money, but just to say thanks, we're giving you 350 Rand.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Or they'll give you a proper big bonus. So that's like performance-related. 13th check's factored into your contract.
Oh, okay.
I stand to be corrected that sometimes maybe they just voluntarily give the whole company a 13th check, but normally it's part of your contract.
So this is like the easiest question in the world for anyone to answer, because when do you not have a reason to deploy money? But imagine if you did get that 13th check and you weren't actually sure what to do with it. I mean, let's imagine it was all for luxuries.
And unexpected. So you haven't spent it in May
and
you're desperately waiting for the end of the year to settle your credit cards like most people do.
Well, that's exactly what most people do with it, and it ends up plugging holes in their otherwise very leaky financial system. But if you did get it and it was a surprise and you weren't bargaining on it at all.
A whole nother salary out of the blue, not planning on it, and you're not allowed to use it to manage credit. You have to spend it.
Oh,
you can spend it. You can spend it on wise things. You can build a thing to add value to your home. You can buy a Rolex that's an investment, or depending on what your salary is, a Casio watch that's an investment.
You're not allowed to do boring.
You're not allowed to like stick
things.
It in your unit trust or pay off your credit card. You have to buy some shit. What do you buy with your salary again, unexpected, out of the blue, bang this morning?
Holiday stuff.
And you've got until the end of January.
I think it would be Christmas presents for other people.
Really?
No, I love buying people Christmas presents. Love it.
No,
I mean,
Ben thinks there's hope for him. Okay.
No, and there's the rest of us with actual things. I'd go overseas. I'm planning to probably go overseas anyway, but I would use it to pay for that. I actually did get, and again, like purely out of like just voice renewal rights on a TV ad I did a couple of years ago that was being used in England that they hadn't paid rights on in like 2 years. I got given basically what is to me a month's worth of salary, and I stuck it aside for an overseas trip. It has, however, in the time since then, between then and now, been chipped away at and is no longer a whole month's salary's worth of extra money. But this did actually happen, and the plan was overseas trip. But yeah, didn't actually get to it.
Oh, we need to be stronger in not spending money. That's what I want to do more of next year.
Most amazing feeling. Someone contacts you out of the blue and says, hey, sorry, can you send us an invoice? We need to give you money.
I'd love to just have like money that I didn't know was coming in come in. That would be very nice. Here's something that we've got to do. I mean, I know you might already have done it, but I see a lot of people already doing their Christmas shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do it, sort of soon, you could find yourself in the shtuch.
Oh, what?
Well, you could find yourself in a mall, which is the worst thing in this
Yeah, that's the ultimate shtuch.
Yeah. It's not good.
I won't go to a mall, Roo. Not
so
this time of year.
What do you do? Online?
Pay quadruple. Pay somebody an exorbitant amount of money to go for me.
Really?
Apologize profusely to the person I didn't get a present for. At this time of year, I will not go to the mall.
Really?
I won't unless a family member's life depends on it. I hate it at the best of times, but I won't at this time of year. I'll pay quadruple.
No, it started already. The whole rush, the mess, the World War IV as everyone tries to figure out parking spots. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even on a weekend in March, it's my worst nightmare. Well, that and being in the sun. But imagine there's a part of the mall where you can be in the mall and in the sun. And they're playing R&B. That's hell for me.
Is it three of your worst things in the world?
That's my idea of Hades. And then they're just constantly being told Liverpool and City are winning, which is happening in real life now. So.
Wow, life is really tough, isn't it?
Shame, Gordon. That's Hades.
I wish you a Merry Christmas.
Wait, what did R&B do to you?
Sounded fucking awful. Sing about the bird noise. Sing about sex and Jesus. Money.
This is Mariah Carey, really not good. It's really not good. It's her doing her famous song, the song that makes her more money than any other song, right?
Yeah, she always goes on an overseas trip that Gord spoke about.
Because of her Christmas song.
Oh, Mariah, listen, Christmas rolls around and Mariah just sits at home and goes, bring it on.
That's
roll in the cash.
Well, she coined the term, it's the most wonderful time of the year because she gets more money.
And that's the thing. It's Wham and Mariah Carey. Those are Christmas.
Exactly.
Are they the last Christmas guys? Hey?
Have you heard of Whamageddon?
I don't know. I'm asking.
Whamageddon is you've got to try to avoid from the 1st of December until the end of December hearing Last Christmas by Wham.
Why would you put yourself through that trauma?
Oh, I've already failed then.
Ben loves Wham's Last Christmas.
Or just Wham, obviously. Yeah. There's an exclamation mark in the name for a reason, Gareth.
But if you hear a cover, that's okay. If you hear a cover, that's fine. But if you hear the original Last Christmas, then you're out. Then Whamageddon's hit you.
Isn't there some sort of punishment you can keep playing? Because, I mean, you are going to hear it. So is it just a question of who can last the longest? Or is it a question of, like, who can accumulate the least amount of whams?
If you hear it coming on and the dun, 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 and you run out of the room really fast.
I mean, what, do you get 10 seconds to, like...
For 15's reasonable. 15, surely.
Screaming your lungs out.
Listen to Mariah quickly, because this is her golden egg that she laid, this song. But this is horrible. It's at the Rockefeller Center in 2014, and it's so bad. They isolated her vocals. And you can hear she's not even putting effort in anymore. Well, she couldn't be bothered.
We know that. We saw that with the dance.
Make my wish come true for Christmas.
She was buffering there.
Make my wish come true. I'm just gonna keep on waiting. You.
That's not the words.
I hear those bells ringing. Won't you please bring my baby to me? So make my wish come true.
Yes.
Parody.
No, I swear to God, it's Mariah Carey.
Oh shit, you can actually see her doing it, surrounded by
Merry
white
Christmas.
Fairy creatures.
I'm getting a new coat.
Yeah, you are.
No, that's bullshit. That's like
Did you hear that at the end there?
Getting a new coat thing is a joke.
I'm getting a new coat. No, she means it because she's going to spend the royalties this year on a big coat. Now, listen. That is Mariah.
It's got to be like one of those Tekashi 6ix9ine videos where the fans overdub what he says.
So it's the real thing.
The thing is, we don't hear it like this because there's music and there's the instruments and the backing vocalists as well. I would fire my team because someone leaked this and I would not be happy.
It's happened before.
Someone in the tech team was able to isolate all of everything else and just have my vocals and you sound like this. It's Mariah. Yeah,
but that's bad. I mean, look, she also keep in mind there may be some mitigating factor. Like she might literally have a cold or like not be well.
Well, maybe she was maybe she had a cold. All right.
Or she even knows some of the words. She just said, I want to make my baby, and then she went hoo.
And then the little gap where she buffered, like you
and
said.
And then she buffered, and then she literally just went, la, 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 la.
And then she hits that mega high note because the low notes are what are getting her in this particular
problem. But she
doesn't
even keep that note for too long. As
it's the best thing I've ever heard. I'm sorry. I love this so much. I love when these stars screw up like this. It's the best thing.
Come to Roo for Christmas.
And you can, if you can't see the clip, but she actually realizes, oh shit, that's not going well, and she pulls away from the mic.
I'm just gonna keep on waiting.
Look, she might have been sick. Who knows?
Well, there might have been a spider.
That's hilarious.
No,
there was a spider.
I am like a cornball when it comes to three artists in particular. It's Mariah, it's Mary J. Blige, and Diana Ross, and I'll tell you why. With Mariah, obviously, because she's just a doll. With Mary J. Blige, over the past, I'll say like 15 years, she's not the R&B icon that we knew her for. If you just look at any of her recent concert footage, she does not sing a complete sentence anymore. She'll start like two words of an iconic line, and then she goes, "You guys sing." We're like, "Oh, but Mary, we came to your concert to hear you sing," and like the audience has to carry on. And then Diana Ross just doesn't care for performing at all. No. A few weeks ago, it was Thanksgiving in the States, and they have this huge parade. She was meant to lip sync to her song. And then she ended up just not. Like, the song was playing in the background. And, like, in the middle of her performance, she was talking to people off stage. She was talking to people to her side.
She doesn't give a shit anymore.
Diana, can you focus on at least trying to convince us you're singing, which is not happening at all?
So these are, like, your three that have let you down.
Oh, but I love it because it's a mess.
Like, okay.
Here's
a Real Housewives of R&B.
When you can't keep your eyes off a car accident, that's it.
This is Patti LaBelle. She screws up badly because she can't remember the words. Listen to this. This is great. Patti LaBelle. She's also. And it's in front of a crowd. This is not a sound check.
This is gonna be a very merry Christmas for you and me.
Oh, but she's not making any errors of the singing.
Where are my background singers? Background singers. Not even backup singers. Background singers.
Presents and cards are here. My world is filled with cheer and you. Oh my God. This Christmas. Lights twinkle all around. Next car, honey, next car. Woo! Woo!
And now the background singers pitch up on the stage.
We'll be right back.
singers are not dressed. They're dressed in like their street clothes, winter coats and like hats and shit, and they all dress differently and they look terrible. They look like hobos that have just come off the street.
But she sang though.
Oh, she could sing, yeah. No, Patti LaBelle could sing, but where's my background singer?
Just gonna ad lib as best as I can. Gonna ad lib.
Imagine how she lost it after that song.
Is always a good line.
I think makes a good point. It wouldn't have been humorous and good natured afterwards.
Afterwards, I reckon she whipped people.
Oh yeah.
I reckon she got a horse crop out and those background singers.
Those background singers were never ever hired again.
I think you just go up to them and you take a handgun and you put it next to their head and you go, good luck with your music career, and fire it three times.
Oh jeez.
That's how I imagine Patti LaBelle.
Ever work
when
in
she's
mafia
disciplining people for music mistakes.
So you see, Gordon,
I remove your hearing.
How can you not love R&B? I just don't understand.
It's the bird noise. Whistle with your throat.
No, I know what you mean.
Hate it, hate it,
whistle
hate it.
Whistle with your throat.
Oh, wow, okay. Like that?
Yeah, except done well. Still bad.
Would you please bring my baby to me? So make my wish come true.
No one ever had this problem with George Michael.
No, well, he was dead before he became bad.
And he went home and chilled when he was bad. He's like, right.
No, he went to the public toilets.
I'm gonna.
He was up on the heath, yeah, sure. But that was his life choice.
His life choice?
Yeah.
I always think it's so funny that, like, you know, these singers do. They reach a point where, like, they're just not really that interested. They're doing it totally for the money.
Always wondering though what the dudes in Wham did. You know how they said next Christmas I'll give it to someone special?
Yes.
There should have been a follow up like, this Christmas I got a microwave and Steve was really stoked with his microwave. And like, it went well.
You know that's why you're not in Wham, huh? You know that's why.
Well, that and the lack of six-pack abs and the ability to sing.
That's why George chose Andrew Ridgely instead of you.
How's it going for Ands? Good old Ridge.
I don't think so well.
Oh, are you guys like close like that?
This is one of those other guys.
Ridge.
I don't know. Look up Andrew Ridgely. Let's see what he's up to. I bet you he's doing nothing. Maybe he's got a plastering business.
Maybe he's just being wealthy.
Oh, okay. Well, he's been slammed by Piers Morgan lately.
Oh, really? Piers Morgan?
Who hasn't?
Yeah, I mean, Piers Morgan slams everyone he can because Piers Morgan's such a horrible person.
Age really is the worst disease, huh? I mean, he's part of his former self in Club Tropicana days.
Do you know that Piers Morgan, while we're on that subject, we've got to get to the five things, which we'll do in a second, but Piers Morgan wrote this article about what a social climbing bitch Meghan Markle is. Ben, you read this as well.
Oh, well.
Let me tell you something. The cheek of this man, all Piers Morgan has ever done in his life is social climbing. That's all he's done. He wrote a book where he spent from page one, and I remember I had to review it because I had to interview him. I read from page one to the end. It was him name dropping. Non-fucking-stop. This guy is so obsessed with celebrities. Piers Morgan talks about all these celebrities like they're his best friends, and maybe some of them are, I don't know. But he is a horrendous social climber, and obviously that's why he sees it in Meghan and he hates it. Because apparently what happened was, the guy plays Louis Litt from Suits.
Yes! Love that arc.
Yeah, he became friendly with Piers Morgan. They started talking on Twitter and stuff, and then when Louis Litt was in London, he go out for a drink with Piers or whatever. And then Meghan hopped onto that relationship when she was still on Suits, and she made friends with Piers as well. And they used to talk on DMs. And so she was like properly friendly with him. And they went out to a pub or something. He put her in the Uber and sent her off to the place we went to in London, 5 Hartford Street. Do you remember?
What was that, the private bar?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right. That's where she met Harry.
Stop. Why did you guys not tell me this before we went there?
Sia was at the bar where Harry met Meghan.
No, shut up.
Yeah. So anyway, Piers says goodbye to her.
What a year.
And as soon as Meghan meets Harry, she stops talking to Piers. And he gets so upset. He's like, oh, well, the social climbing little fox. Because he's not the guy getting the attention. Now, listen, when you meet Prince Harry, you have to cut ties with a bunch of other people, especially sordid tabloid journalists and mucky social star fuckers like Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
I bet you Harry said, where did you just come from? And she said, Piers Morgan. He said, oh, well, that'll have to stop.
I only recently, like this week, found out and announced on my Facebook that I never put two and two together that, because I don't care about the royals at all, that the hot royal babe that all the noise is about and the belter from Suits are the same.
You are so left out in the cold. I saw this on your... I thought you were taking the piss, but
you know who replaced Jeff Hanneman as guitarist for Slayer?
No, of course not.
Well, then there you go.
But that's slightly less worldly.
Yeah, but I don't mind the news.
I don't see Jeff Hanneman in the Buckingham Palace third court.
No, but he fucking started Slayer. Anyway,
I don't even have the words.
The point is, I actively avoid this news. It's not about not knowing the news. It's about like not putting two and two together. Seeing this lady as I walk down the aisle in various shopping centres and whatever, and various shops, seeing her on People magazine and whatever. Like I should be able to recognise a human being that I've fapped to like for three seasons of Suits. And then I see on magazine covers.
I think this has
a lot
to do with you almost getting put down this year because you are an astute individual.
Yeah, I mean,
you're not oblivious to your surroundings.
I just didn't.
This just goes to show
that
when
I figured it out, it was the most like, oh my God, I've been living in a parallel dimension.
You've been dying this year.
I think that's real. That's ignorance. I know that it's not important to you.
Yes.
But it's still ignorance.
I know that,
for example, Beyonce was here 2 weekends ago, even though I don't care about her and I wouldn't go to her show.
But I know things about this, like, despite not wanting to know, I know things about the royal family. I know that she's involved in a spat. She's got a crazy dad. We've talked about it on this very show.
Yeah,
just the fact that she's
not going to catch you.
Just the fact that she's from a TV show.
I can't believe you didn't put two and two together.
I didn't know that you were the Lego character until I found out.
It's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, speaking of Beyonce, Brett Lineker made a good point on Facebook yesterday. You know, her, like these other pseudo stars, they come here and they go, oh, I'm so happy to be home.
Yeah.
Not a single thing on her social media.
About being in South Africa.
What an absolute charlatan. What a disgrace.
You mean she's really happy to be in South Africa on stage,
but then
she doesn't put a single picture up or a post about how nice it is to be here.
We made it up to her website, but not her Instagram.
Just bullshit.
Because her people
would have put that up.
Exactly. But it also comes down to she obviously doesn't run her own social media. So, spoiler alert, kids.
Nah, it's not
all right, let's get to the five things you need to know.
No, it's disgraceful.
Oh, okay.
If you've got to be consistent, it's disgraceful.
Oh, okay. So, Ben on...
She subjected us to her music for all these years. George Michael would have done that. George Michael would have tweeted about South Africa.
Yeah, he would have been in the public bogs right now. Yeah.
Can we go to the five things
offering
you need to
handies.
Know?
Moral of the story is, George Michael was a massive loss to all of us.
All right, five things you need to know. 277 medical students received their doctorates on Tuesday at Stellenbosch University.
Well, that's good
making
news.
This the largest annual crop for the Faculty of Medicine and Health Sciences in the 62-year history of the university. Isn't that good?
Mm.
In total, more than 830 health science students were capped with undergraduate honors and master's degrees. And that's very good news, obviously. Included in the undergraduate crop were graduates from occupational therapy, physiotherapy, dietetics, and speech, language, and hearing therapy. So they're almost doctors.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Well, I'm allowed to say that. I mean, if you're an occupational therapist, physiotherapist, dietitian, or speech, language, and hearing therapist, I mean, you've worked very hard for that, and I'm not going to take anything away from you, but you're not a surgeon.
So you believe it's a respectable profession and a real thing to study, but it's not doctoring?
No, I'm not even going to go down this road because there are a lot of very, very competent people who
do this.
Point
is, you're okay with it?
Yeah, of course I am.
Okay.
It's not chiropractic.
Just doing a piss take check.
Sure.
Chiropractors are the best.
Yeah, all right. The faculty's Renelle Bester said 277 students received their medical or MBCHB degrees. This group also has the best group of students obtaining cum laude, 26 graduates passing with distinction. Now, that is impressive.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? All right, so that's very good news to start your morning this morning. Here's some very bad news. Batabile Dlamini has threatened to air Cyril Ramaphosa's dirty laundry. I mean, this fucking drunk. She dropped a bombshell accusing the deputy president. Sorry. Oh, right. Okay, sorry. The deputy president and Cyril. This is amazing. Oh, sorry, this is an old story. This was when he was deputy president. Well, whatever happened with that?
She probably literally aired his dirty laundry.
Yeah. She probably took dirty laundry out of
the bag. I've got his
bag.
Laundry.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Or,
old story.
What also happens when you drink is that you go, I'm doing this tomorrow. Wake up hungover, I'm going to do this.
No.
That's how it works when you drink.
What a troll. Anyway, advocate Vincent Malega chaired an internal Supersport inquiry where it cleared Willems' co-presenters Nick Mallett and Nasboet of racism. Did you hear about this?
Oh, what actually? This is what actually happened with
that. Yeah,
now that it's no longer scandalous and actually nothing really.
But you won't really hear about this because it doesn't suit the narratives.
Yeah, it doesn't suit the sort of news agenda. Like you say, the narrative.
The Human Rights Commission says it has received a request to intervene in the matter involving former Springbok Ashton Willems and SuperSport. I don't know how this is a human rights issue.
What's the truth?
I have no idea how this is a human rights issue. There's a bunch of really, really wealthy, privileged people arguing in a studio on television for everyone to see. Don't see how that's got anything to do with human rights.
People don't enjoy not winning these kind of things. Arbitration, mediation, sport, whatever it is.
So they appeal and appeal.
Some people don't enjoy not winning.
South African Human Rights Commission will look into this, but advocate Vincent Maleka chaired an internal SuperSport inquiry where it cleared Willems' co-presenters of racism. Like, you have to be cleared of racism. Let's just remember, racism is not a crime. It's a shit thing to do, it's a shit thing to be, but it is not a crime. This is what's so amazing. Calling for the death of people is a crime.
Having people's rights taken away.
Being a racist or preferring blondes or brunettes is not criminal. It's a preference. It's a shit preference for some people. It means some people are prejudiced to the nth degree. It means some people are really, really nasty about other groups of people that they dislike. But it isn't criminal. I don't know how anyone gets off on thinking that you have to be cleared or you have to be found guilty of racism. It isn't a thing.
But it's when you use it to call for, like, harm to other people or to take rights away from other people.
That is called hate speech and discrimination.
And that's not allowed.
No.
So if they try to get him fired purely because they thought he was a person of color and for no other reason, that would be like racism.
And by the way, it's not just discrimination, it's unfair discrimination. In other words, you're allowed to discriminate. I can say, I've got a job available and Ben and Sia and Gord are going for the job. And I need to discriminate between them in order to decide who's going to get the job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. And then what I do is I discriminate against Ben, let's say, because he's not wearing black this morning.
Yeah.
Or I discriminate against Gord because he's wearing the worst headphones. Or I discriminate against Sia because he's
great moisturizer.
Great moisturizer.
Best looking, yeah.
Whatever. Those are discriminations. Those are not unfair discriminations, right?
Or like you try the hardest and you're the most athletic and you've got the best cardio, but you're just not tall enough for the high jump team.
Yeah, I mean, not all of us are going to walk the ramp at a modeling show.
Sure.
Not all of us are going to be selected for the South African national cricket team. Not all of us are going to be chosen by the hot model as the boyfriend that she's always wanted.
Speak for your damn self. I'm still in that race.
But, you know what I mean? This is called discrimination, and it is not illegal or something that you need to be charged with.
Yeah, it basically means choosing according to your preference or according to a specified
list of criteria. So, Willemser, you remember, Willemser had a little hissy fit and stormed out like a little bitch during a live broadcast earlier this year, accusing Boerter and Mallett of patronizing and undermining him, which they may have been doing subtly because that's kind of how South Africa is. People just treat each other poorly a lot of the time without even realizing they're doing it. But Maleka recommended SuperSport refer this report to the Human Rights Commission. The commission's CEO says they will conduct an inquiry. Ooh, there were allegations that he was treated unfairly. Well, I don't see how, again, anyone who's hired and paid a huge amount of money to sit and watch a game they would watch at home anyway and then comment on it for the rest of us is in any way being discriminated against. I think it's a stupid job, and I think that you shouldn't be paid as much as any of those three were paid for it, but then that's my opinion. I'm discriminating. I think it's dumb that three sports presenters...
If the two white dudes...
Three dumb sports presenters had an issue with each other, and now it's everybody's problem.
Yes, but if the two white dudes behind the scenes sat and conspired and had little fun white dude conversations about how to make it harder for and embarrass the other dude because they don't like him because he's of color, that's a different story then.
Of course.
We just there's three malice. Dudes and two of them don't like the one. Or there's three dudes and two of them think the other one doesn't work as hard as they do.
Which, by the way, happens in every business.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
everywhere.
Everywhere you go, there's colleagues you don't like. And I've had a situation where out of, in my whole career, a dozen colleagues that I just happened to have not gotten on well with, one decided it was because I didn't like her skin color. And I was like mortally offended because A, it was completely untrue. I didn't like her because she was a total incompetent idiot. And B, I never made a thing of it. We just didn't get along.
Mm. Well, this happens.
You could pick up the vibe that we were never going to be friends. But once I was accused of that, I had nowhere to go.
Here's the deal, right? There is such a thing as having a huge chip on your shoulder too.
Yeah, I think it's been known that Ashwin does have one. And let's not forget what happened on air that day is that Ashwin didn't get a chance to say something in a certain segment.
He didn't
segment.
Get a chance because he walked off.
Let me finish. He didn't get a chance to say anything in a certain segment. So as I came back from the break, Nick Mellor actually said we must go to Ashwin first because he didn't get to voice his opinion or something.
Right.
So when they went to him, he was then having like this whole, oh, like you're patronizing me now. Meanwhile, they were actually physically trying to balance the broadcast.
He was having a huff.
So let's not forget that, because I know feelings always trump everything else, but that's kind of how it went down.
Context is important.
Yeah, well, yeah. Somebody needs to
when
go and
when rugby guys get their emotions.
I know. Can you imagine?
Emotional rugby guys. Next week on Emotional Rugby Guys, we'll take you into the locker room and see how some guys, the angle at which some rugby guys turn their bums so that no one sees their willy when they're changing. Are you an open changer or do you change in the shower? Emotional Rugby Guys! Next week, same time, same place, same moisturizer on your face. Emotional Rugby Guys.
What a show that would be.
Be so good. And Sia, you'd watch that.
For many a reason.
All right.
High impact TV. So
Time magazine have come out with their dun da da da. Here's another. I need a song for this one, Gord. Time magazine have come out with their person of the year.
Oh. Time magazine's person of the year. Fuck you if you didn't make it.
Wow. And guess who their person of the year is?
Not a white guy.
Well,
political agenda meets our preference.
Jamal Khashoggi, who was killed, and other persecuted journalists. Talk about
I dig the way they've done categories though lately, and I'm not. Yeah. I don't even necessarily have a problem with it. It's just an observation, like the Me Too movement, person of the year.
Yeah. Last year was...
A journalist's person of the year. See, I wouldn't mind being person of the year because I perfected nuclear fusion and boned the 100 living hottest women. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't want to be like the guy that died in the most important way this year, person of the year. Person of the year, fuck you, Gordon Laws. Like,
right. No.
Rather be living nowhere.
But it also has become a category of people now. So among those named with Khashoggi were Philippine journalist Maria Ressa, Reuters reporters Wa Lone and Kwa Su U, who's currently imprisoned in Myanmar. I mean,
Yassus, you don't want to be imprisoned in Myanmar, bro.
No.
Well, you don't.
That's where Rambo had to go, come out of retirement.
Yeah.
30 years later, and go there and rescue some journalists because of how hardcore the Myanmarians are. And now they're busy making the last Rambo movie, and I think he's gone back to Myanmar.
What are they called? People who live there?
Myanmarians.
Okay. Thanks. Just
all right, so that's who the person of the year is.
People of the year now.
Category of human of the year.
Yeah. Climate change. Experts warn 1.5 degrees could decide the fate of our planet.
Yeah, it's hardcore stuff, man.
You know, I'm tired of environmentalists. I really am. Like, I don't have children. I'm not going to live forever. You deal with the world.
Your niece?
And why don't
your
nephews? Why don't you humans who are so concerned about this, why don't you start investing in research that can change the way that the Earth works? Why don't we put up like shields to protect us from radiation that's coming through the atmosphere?
Ironically,
and heating things up.
They say that to a small degree that can be achieved by deliberately flying in such a way as to create more chemtrails.
I know.
Although they're not actually called chemtrails, they're called vape trails or something like that. There's
apparently
literally no chemtrail does not exist, but the little clouds behind the planes, you have to fly at the right time at the right temperature in order to make those. That they happen because you're flying when the humidity and the temperature are just right.
Well, you've just crossed into Alex Jones territory.
No, no, no. This is the opposite. It's the debunking a conspiracy theory.
There are volcanoes that give off a huge amount of ammonia, sulfur dioxide, and compounds like that. And what they've done is they've discovered that when these volcanoes give off this stuff, it creates a layer in the atmosphere. All these gases float up and create a layer which gives extra protection and actually cools the atmosphere directly.
So in other words, doesn't trap heat but prevents it coming in.
Correct.
So this is very funny to me that like...
So they found, they've decided that if they did this properly and if they were able to chemically induce these kinds of things in the middle atmosphere, not the... I think it's in the middle. Because you get the stratosphere, you get the ionosphere, and you get something else. Anyway, it's one of those. I'm not a climate science specialist, but they say if you can do this and we can induce this, we can actually cool the temperature of the Earth.
I always think of Highlander 2, which was a hugely underrated movie, where Christopher Lambert, with his immortality, had built a shield around the sky that made it like a bronzy, weird puke color that kept the ozone layer, because the ozone layer was gone. So the world was pretty miserable and like dark and shitty, but everyone was alive. But then there was this conspiracy where this ozone layer had kind of fixed itself, and Christopher Lambert wanted to like undo his own creation because he'd now aged, because he'd won the Highlander tournament, and he'd now gotten old, and he wanted to like undo his own work because it was no longer necessary. But the powers that be were trying to stop him, and then an immortal from another planet came back and re-immortaled him, and then he put the sky back. Yeah, no one remembers that movie, but I sure do. No.
Well, I don't want to remember the term bronzy pukey color.
Well, I had a good childhood. I watched
that. All right. A couple of messages that are coming, and then we'll get to Ben in the sport. Dan says, how can this cuck be taken to the Concord? Didn't Willemsen miss his first appearance? Surely you don't put an effort in. You shouldn't be allowed to escalate it, Daniel.
Yeah, well, that's always the question. Like, where's Ashford now? What's he doing? He felt so strongly about this.
No, he doesn't care. He was just making a noise at the time, and he got lots of attention for it, and that's all he wanted. Love me, Daddy. That's all he wanted. Sean says, I got suspended, remember, from Twitter. He says, Twitter reviewed my appeal, and I can now confirm my account has been permanently suspended for quoting Dr. Dre lyrics.
Wow. Yeah, I quoted Mama Luka Boo Boo Day from Howard Stern. I just quoted in 2012, kill the white man, but in quotes, kill him until he is dead, dash, Mama Luka Boo Boo Day in brackets, Howard Stern. And like a year ago, I got like reviewed for hate speech. Oh. I had to explain. It's a quote from a movie by Howard Stern, and also take it down.
Oh, no.
So what Dre lyrics did this dude get taken down for?
Too much effort to start again. He says, that's my Twitter career done. Fuck him. All right. Well, you know what? You'll be fine without Twitter. I promise you, nothing
changes.
It's
a cesspit of hatred and idiocy. It's awful. But I'm very interested to know what song it was, just out of pure curiosity, if that dude can maybe...
Yeah, Sean, send us that info. All right. Here's the Bitcoin and Ethereum. Bitcoin, $3,390. Ethereum slides on its ass down to $87.08. Unbelievable. All right, Ben, over to you. What's going on in the world of sport?
Lots of Champions League football, Gareth. The Mzansi Super League gets to a thrilling climax this weekend. And boxing. Is Joshua going to fight Wilder? What a night to be at the cricket last night. The Jersey Stars set the new highest total for the Mzansi Super League. 239 runs for 3. I was there. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Rickleton started off at 45, Hendricks at 20, and then Rossi van der Dissen scored 96 of 44 balls. He was just hitting sixes for fun. And with that, the Aussie Christian was also doing pretty well. 52 of 19. He set the record for the fastest 50 in the league. Coming up 18 balls. The Tshwane Spartans, those were the guys throwing the balls to them. They then had a bit of a bat and didn't go as well. They were all off 138, with Avery de Villiers getting absolutely bugger all. He got a zero. Fowles Morgan didn't do too much better. He got 27. Yep. With just Clutty and DeZorzi, the only guys that really could bat.
Mm-hmm.
Pongola, though, he got 6 wickets. And what a nice gesture. Rossi van der Dissen was named man of the match, and he gave it to Pongola for his 6 wickets. So the Jersey Stars have now booked their spot in the playoff match. So how it works is that the top team, which is the Cape Town Blitz, we've already established that, they host the final on Sunday. Get your tickets there. It's Sunday 3:30. It's going to be a great game out. Then Jersey Stars will now host the playoff match, which will take place on Friday. And there's only, well, there's two teams in the running for that, really. Well, it's process. Nelson Mandela Bay Giants, they're the only ones that really can make it. And they are a decent side. They play today against the Paul Rocks, but it's in Paul, though, so they could win that one. And if they do, well, it's getting very, very close. Paul Rocks are 4 points behind Nelson Mandela Bay Giants.
So, Paul Rocks, huh?
Yeah, that's your team, Gareth. I'm guessing it's going to be Giants versus Stars Friday for the playoff match. Jersey Stars to win that one, take on the Cape Town Blitz on Sunday.
All right.
Durban Heat, they were absolutely shite this year. And the Spartans, too, most disappointing. Actually, so were the Paul Rocks. They started off so well, and then they kind of just fell away. But that is your Mzansi Super League. More from that league is that two alleged match fixers were arrested at Kingsmead.
Oh.
Two businessmen, which is always a bit of a loose phrase. You can call criminal, basically. These two businessmen who are known match fixers and have previously offended in this realm of life, they were basically approached by CSA officials and then the police, and they were arrested because they were at a private suite. And, well, some people are banned from cricket because they're simple as that. They give you a patch leather jackets and money, and then suddenly they bring the game into disrepute. So CSA officials hot on this, though. And also, I think prior to the tournament, they also managed to kind of locate and sort of approach, again, two other known match fixers. So the guys are really on it, and a whole bunch of new laws are in place around cricket, and the guys are acting on it. So the Mzansi Super League has been a very interesting kind of learning curve for many, and the fact that they are so on it when it comes to the anti-corruption stuff, also actually very positive. Diversity is a positive thing. Champions League, which is for Gorge, just trauma because Man United are about to lose. But let's get into what's happening. Happened yesterday. So yesterday was Tuesday, 11th of December, was it not, Sia?
Yes, it was. Yeah, according to the calendar.
So that meant the Galatasaray, they went down 2-3 to Porto. Schalke, they beat Lokomotiv Moscow 1-0. Liverpool, they just keep winning. That's all they seem to know what to do right now is just win. Gord loves that too. Liverpool 1, Napoli 0. And then Barcelona, they were up against Tottenham at home. And then, Spurs were basically, if they lost this match, they were gone. They needed some other results to work for them. But they managed to sneak a late equaliser. Drew 1-1 with Barcelona, which then meant it was all to play for between Inter Milan and PSV. And that also finished the draw. So Spurs go through. Club Brugge, they drew with Atletico Madrid. And then Red Star Belgrade, they got hammered by Paris Saint-Germain. The Paris Saint-Germain are always good at this stage. And then they get against the big boys in the latter stages of the tournament. And they kind of fall to pieces a bit. Let's look at tonight's fixtures, though. Victoria Plzen, they'll take on Roma at 8:05. Real Madrid will be taking on CSKA Moscow at 8:05 as well. And then all these other matches, 10 o'clock South African time. Valencia will be beating Man United. Benfica versus AEK Athens. Man City will be taking on Hoffenheim. Ajax versus Bayern Munich. Shakhtar Donetsk versus Olympia Lyonnais. And then the young boys.
It almost sounds like you're making stuff up, Ben.
Then the young boys will be hosting Juventus.
Yeah,
we'll get into who goes through and all that kind of stuff next week, because it's just all these different permutations makes for very boring listening. In other news from, well, I told you there's a boxing story here. Now, Anthony Joshua, he is the big British darling of boxing. He beat a Klitschko, and then he became a champion. Since then, he's basically fought a bunch of bums. Well, not genuinely bums, but I mean, he's fought some pretty...
That would make such a good YouTube channel. Anthony Joshua versus bums. Six bums. Two of them with cricket bats and one with the taser. Versus Anthony Joshua. 20-minute YouTube clip. 1 billion. First YouTube video to 2 billion views.
Are you a bum? Are you not doing anything on Friday the 17th? Well, come along and fight Anthony Joshua.
I create these permutations where you can change the odds. Like, what if we throw in another cricket bat, then it's 17-1 for the two of the bums to survive. And you bet, like, first bum to go out after this time, it could be huge.
And you get to see the level of intoxication each bum is under.
Yeah,
the 360 3D graphics, like bum number one, Joe.
It would make for an awesome sort of stats.
Yes, I'm gonna get him.
It would make for some interesting boxing stats. And here in this corner with
35... Now that's a sport I'd watch.
With 35 fights, 23 knockouts, 270 like TKOs, and 17 bums beaten last week.
And in this week's new adventure of killing bums with Anthony Joshua, we're shooting him in one leg with local anesthetic to make it more fair.
But into the actual boxing, he's fought kind of not exactly memorable people. Now, while this has been happening, obviously Deontay Wilder is like the business. He's been knocking guys out left, right, and center. Tyson Fury is now back in the mix, and heavyweight boxing, as we said a couple of weeks ago, is in a fantastic place again. And Anthony Joshua has been fighting these people because his team get to make money. If he goes straight up against a Wilder or a Fury, he might get knocked on his ass and suddenly he's not going to make the money anymore. People wouldn't let him into nightclubs like they do, and he won't get all the preferential treatment. But now, apparently, according to WBC champion Deontay Wilder, I guess you've always got to give people's titles the full name, Joshua's team is begging for the fight. They really want it. He wants the fight so bad. But there's the rematch of Tyson Fury first, of course, and I think that'll be a bigger spectacle for boxing. Although Anthony Joshua, it goes back to marketing.
Could be a hell of a fight.
But it goes back to marketing, Gord. I mean, boxing has this great like story now to kind of show that the tri-axis of boxing greatness right now, how it plays out, is going to be fascinating.
But it's cool that Joshua's keen on it, because I mean, as much as you say, like, cynically, you know, the nightclubs and the beating the bums and having the easy path, these dudes train their entire life, and some of them do really want to kind of prove. I mean, I would imagine Anthony Joshua has put in quite a lot and wants to prove he can beat these two heroes. Yeah. So there's that as well. Very exciting.
And look, the longer he fights bums and not champions, obviously the more kind of pressure will be on him to really put his belt on the line and step it up.
Although after season 3 we are doing champion bums, so that's where we get all the ones that lasted the longest.
When the best bums in the ring, then it gets more interesting.
Back together. It's like All Star Survivor. Champion bums.
Last night was a big night for SS Rugby Stars. They were all sort of had the big spotlight shown on them in there. Huge abilities over the year. It was the Bright Rock Players' Choice Awards, and the defender of the year was Peter Steptoe. He made 77 million tackles this year, so much so he's getting new shoulders in the new year from Father Christmas. Forward of the year was Malcolm Marks. Backline Player of the Year was Apiwi Junchi. And then the Players' Player of the Year, which of course is the big one, that's what you want, because that's when your peers think you are the greatest, and that went to Malcolm Marks. Bongi Mbonambi might not have voted for him though. It's just a rumor I've been hearing. And then for even more acclaim for our top box, the New Zealand Rugby World magazine have named three of the guys I've just mentioned in their World 15 Team of the Year. So according to New Zealand Rugby World magazine, Elliot Daly was the best fullback, then there's Ben Smith and Rico Ioane as the wings. Hugh Jones, the Scottish guy, and Owen Farrell with no arms, they were your centre pairing according to the magazine. Bowden Barrett, number 10, Faf de Klerk was seen as the best scrum off of the year. Kieran No Arms Reid at number 8, Artie Sevier at 7. Peter Steptoe, there he is, making all the tackles as the blindside flanker. James Ryan from Ireland and Brady Retallick with the lock pairing. Tad Furlong, fantastic Irish name there. He was seen as the best tight end of the year. Malcolm Marks, there he is, as the best hooker of the year. And Carl Tuinukafu.
Right. Mm.
Tuinukafu.
Got to be careful how you say that.
Well, it was, Gareth. As you saw, I went in there with much hesitation.
Hmm.
He was
you throwing
the best
shit that dudes like me that don't know anything about rugby like just raise a quick eyebrow like 77 million tackles put in this year and now he's getting new shoulders for Christmas, and then you're like, the guy with no arms did well at kicking, and I'm like, hang on, what?
Yeah,
it's jokes obviously, but like, I don't get them.
Well, one of the funniest outfits for the Cape Town Sevens. Were you at that?
Not this year.
Not this year. So you know, Owen Farrell, he doesn't tackle with his arms; he uses his shoulders. So it's
like a human spear.
Yeah. So some guy at the Cape Town Sevens was wearing a shirt which looked like Owen Farrell's shirt, had his number and his name on it, and then he just tucked his arms into his sleeves and walked around with nothing coming out of his. I thought that was
great. That was so repetitive.
I wasn't expecting your guys to be paying attention at this stage, but yes, that is your sport for today. More on Friday as we get into the weekend. Big golfing weekend with the Leopard Creek Alfred Dunhill Championship being the big thing here in South Africa.
All right, very good. Let's turn our attention to Sia. Sia, what you got for us in Said by Sia this morning?
This is such an incredible story. We're always told how, you know, your tiny or small good deeds will go unnoticed and they'll make a world of a difference. Well, this I truly feel is that in action. There is a man by the name of Albert Lexi who passed away a few weeks ago, but Albert, during his life, spent 30 years working as a shoe shiner at a hospital in Pittsburgh in the United States. Now, when he passed away a few weeks ago, he left this incredible gift behind. In all of his 30 years,
and all of the tips that he's been receiving from Shining Shoes, that huge amount he's left straight to the children's hospital.
Oh, wow.
And it's now amounted to $202,000. This is incredible. The money will go to the Children's Hospital Free Care Fund, which provides medical care to uninsured or underinsured children in the Pittsburgh area. And Albert Lexi, every Tuesday and Thursday, diligently worked at the hospital. And so many people in the staff would often now recount how Albert would speak about the kids and what the kids mean to him and how much he wished he could make a change. And so just by charging $3 every time he shone someone's shoes, every tip he would get over 30 years.
Oh my God, what a guy.
Put aside over and over again. And now he's left this huge amount to the Children's Hospital. If that is not your small deed making a huge, huge change, then I don't know what is. The hospitals say that Albert is the perfect example of how small incremental acts of kindness can impact millions of people. He was 76 years old when he passed away, and a lot of his colleagues say that he didn't care about the fame or accolades that came along with his impressive of donations, and he's been doing a lot in his, while he was alive as well. And they say that Albert just had one goal in mind. He said that he wanted to see the kids get well. Wow.
Yes.
Incredible stuff. Saving his tips for 30 years and now in his death donating $202,000 to the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center Children's Hospital. That's
his
incredible. Albert Lexi. That's L-E-X-I-E.
Albert Lexi, legend.
Incredible guy. That's just it by Sia for this morning.
It's beautiful. All right. So apparently the lyrics to the song that you were interested in, Gord, are from Sean. He said, I tweeted to the City Power of Joburg people. Fuck you two, bitch. Call the cops. I'm going to kill you and then make loud-ass motherfucking barking dogs.
I mean, well, in as far as Dre lyrics go, those are pretty harsh ones.
Well, when you're just directing it to a person, like an actual entity, it's quite harsh.
He said, like, dear City Power, smoking Indo, sipping on gin and juice, laid back with my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Damn
right.
You.
Exactly. All right, so here's something that, unless you are playing Whamageddon, you probably don't want to hear this, but if you aren't playing Whamageddon, then good for you, because this is especially for Ben.
What a track. Thanks, Gareth.
And we all, just like that, lose fucking Whamageddon in one go.
Shut up, right. Gord.
Before it's even started.
Shut up.
This is Ben's favorite Christmas song of all.
It is, and it always will be.
This is CliffCentral.com.